This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Hi. This is an episode on dry January.
As we drink.
Anyways, I'm actually going to be doing dry January. I did it last year.
Okay.
And everyone almost flipped their butts on me to, you know. Well, I wish you guys could have seen how all of my friends looked at me when I was doing dry
January.
Yes. You too.
Well, because, I did.
You did. You changed the font.
Well, yeah. Sorry. That was like the normal font.
Uncanny Valley. Similar, but not.
Okay. I'll go back to it in the next.
I'm like, Julie, I can't.
Like, throw you off.
It took me a year and a half to be able to read from this. And now you're going to switch it up on me.
Didn't even warn me. I think it's just the spacing.
Yeah,
it's just the spacing.
No, there's something off with the other one.
It's the
what
spacing.
Is it? It's the same, but not
1.5. Okay,
much better. Much better. I was like, "What's going on here?"
There it is.
I literally thought it was a different font.
Nope.
It's the spacing of it. Much better. Much better. Jules, you can't change that shit on me without warning me. Okay, what's going on here? I can't do this.
Anyways, welcome back. I hope you guys had an amazing
Christmas and amazing New Year's.
I'm just making sure that this comes out.
It's going to be after. Okay, it's January 3rd.
If you celebrate Christmas, whatever it is, I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday season.
January 3rd.
Perfect. Why do we have this creepy guy still here? Because we just recorded a Patreon episode on him. Oh, Jesus Christ.
A little drunk. On dry January. We bath record.
Yeah, we have to.
Welcome.
Hi.
Happy Christmas.
So we
Merry Christmas.
That. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy everything.
All the things.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. And that's why we're talking about dry January, as we are actively not dry, because we are recording this on, what day is it today? December 14th.
Yeah. So we are bath recording, and, you know, we always have a little something. But no, we're really going to talk about what we're going to do for January. Jules, are you doing dry January?
No.
I am.
I may do damp January.
Okay.
Which we will talk about what that is.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
But yeah. I'm going to be doing dry January.
I think that's what you did last year.
I did dry January.
No, I think you did damp.
Did I do damp? No, I'm pretty sure. I didn't even drink at my friend's wedding.
Oh, shit. You went to a wedding and you didn't drink?
I did not drink.
You have way more willpower than I do. Hell no. Am I going to go to a wedding, through all of that and not drink?
I went to a wedding.
Dang. So, yeah. What is dry January? Is it good for you? What's the deal on it?
Why is it so popular?
Yeah, it's gotten really popular.
Yeah. And there actually is a lot of health benefits to it. So that's what we're going to be kind of like focusing on.
Yeah. There's a lot of trends for all the holiday months and stuff like that. I'm sure that men know about the one in November.
No Shave November.
No.
What is it?
No, the PG one.
Oh, God. What is it called?
No, Nut November.
Oh, okay.
It's very sad. Why would you partake in that? I don't know.
Okay, I did not know that. I was like, No Shave November. Okay, well, there's a holiday for everything.
So there's a lot of those, but January is commonly known for being like dry January. Of course, like the holidays, everybody's drinking, the parties.
Kind of do like a little bit of a cleanse.
Exactly. So then comes January, you no longer have like all the crazy partying and gatherings and all that stuff. So you're like, okay, this is a good moment to like reset, you know?
Exactly.
So anyway.
All right. So dry January, this is going to be a little bit of like a summarized dive into the health benefits and kind of some really cool insights on it. Okay. So what is Dry January? Kind of like, you know, says Dry January is a health movement that encourages people or individuals to abstain from alcohol for the first month of the year. It's kind of like starting out the year fresh, yeah, coming off of a holiday like binge and
bonanza.
Yeah, recovering. So originating in the UK. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. This is your history.
You're thinking over.
No. Julie tried to switch the font on me, the spacing. Now the history.
It's January. It's a new month, new year.
No, new year, new me. None of that. It's been going really well. I know that to grow, you have to get out of your comfort zone, but Julie always does the history.
For being a Gemini, she's anti-change.
Yeah, no, I like things to be, you know, it's good. Why do you want to change it? I'm okay for a change every now and then, but you can't just change things without talking to me about it first.
Anyway, you're right. So as she had said, that's what Dry January is, right? But where did it come from, all those good things? So it originated in the UK in 2013. So it's kind of like a new trend.
Yeah, it is pretty new.
So it was pioneered by Alcohol Change UK. So that's a nonprofit aiming to raise awareness of the impact alcohol has on health and well-being. So over the years, this challenge has gained international traction, growing into a global phenomenon. And for many, Dry January is more than a break from alcohol. It's a chance to reflect on your habits, improve your health, and even save money because alcohol is expensive.
Super expensive.
Yeah. And then the challenge is particularly appealing after the indulgent Halloween. Wow. Well, Halloween's part
she
of the season.
Halloween.
I do. It's so part of the indulgent holiday season, right? So where alcohol consumption is often at its peak. So anyone from casual drinkers to those looking to just cut back can participate in this. It's pretty like easy to partake,
yeah,
you know? And then there's like this camaraderie in it. You find other people that are doing it. You're like, yeah,
and you motivate each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So how alcohol is processed in the liver and why is it so harmful? Okay. Why does it cause damage? So alcohol absorption. When you consume alcohol, it is absorbed primarily in the stomach and small intestines, and then it enters your bloodstream. From there, it's transported to the liver for processing. Okay? The liver plays a central role at metabolizing alcohol to prevent it from circulating in the bloodstream at really toxic levels, okay? So alcohol metabolism in the liver metabolizes the alcohol in a two-step enzyme process. Enzyme is kind of just the catalyzer of things, like how things can be done. So one, the first enzyme is alcohol dehydrogenase. We've covered this before in our...
It was Agent Glow.
Agent Glow or like flush...
Alcohol flush syndrome.
So the enzyme alcohol dehydrogenase converts ethanol, the part that molecule that causes the intoxicating
like
effects yeah. in alcohol, okay, into acetaldehyde, which is even more toxic, okay, mm-hmm. and a reactive compound. That's what gives you that hangover effect, mm-hmm. okay? So acetaldehyde is responsible for many of the unpleasant effects of alcohol, such as nausea, flushing, and also the headaches. Aldehyde dehydrogenase, that other enzyme, is further metabolized by the enzyme
dehydrogenase.
God, I need to.
So what it is that these enzymes, A and B, right? We're just going to name them A and B.
Yeah.
One takes care of the other one by like further degrading it.
Like exactly. It's like a two-step thing.
It further makes it like smaller and like
less harmful.
Less harmful for your body.
Yeah.
That's in essence.
So then acetate is a vegetable. Okay. But I want like a flow chart in my brain. All right. So you have alcohol dehydrogenase. All right. That is going to take ethanol into acetaldehyde.
Which is what you're taking, what you're ingesting.
Exactly. So you went from ethanol and you went to acetaldehyde by alcohol dehydrogenase, okay? Then the next step is going from acetaldehyde, okay, into acetate, okay? And that is done by aldehyde dehydrogenase. That's that second enzyme. That is way better. Here's the flowchart. I just work in flowcharts. I just remember biochemistry and I need a flowchart in my brain, okay? So acetate is eventually broken down into water and carbon dioxide, which are excreted from the body through urine and respiration. So acetaldehyde causes those uncomfortable symptoms. Acetate is the one that is eventually being able to be excreted from the body, so it doesn't cause any symptoms. So the liver can only metabolize about one standard drink per hour. Okay, so excess alcohol that can be metabolized accumulates in the bloodstream, leading to intoxication because there's only so much that your liver can do. So if you're just putting them back, putting them down,
pounding
them down,
yeah.
Pounding them out. Bro, why are we recording this when we're drunk? Okay.
As you're pounding them.
Please, for the love of God, cut that out. All right. So the liver can only metabolize about one standard drink per hour. Excess alcohol that cannot be metabolized accumulates in the bloodstream, leading to intoxication.
Which you could definitely see how that could happen in like a holiday party.
Yeah, because you're just doing one drink and then the other one and then someone's coming in and refilling your drink. And, okay, and I don't see you with the drink. Where's the drink?
Exactly. Yeah. So why does alcohol cause liver damage? The damage occurs due to both the direct toxic effects of the alcohol and the byproducts by the metabolism, by the flow chart that she was talking about earlier. Yes. Now, this is going to be a rough one.
Acetaldehyde. I think I said acetaldehyde before, but it's acetaldehyde.
That. So the byproduct of alcohol, right? In this metabolism. So significantly more toxic than ethanol. So then that's what's going to be triggering this inflammation and oxidative stress and damages your liver cells. So over time, this can lead to cell death and scarring of the liver. So then you have alcohol metabolism that disrupts the liver's normal processing of its fats. So instead of breaking down the fats, the liver prioritizes metabolizing the alcohol that causes the fat to accumulate in the liver cells. This condition is called alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is the earliest stage of liver damage. And then you have when the metabolism of the alcohol generates free radicals, which are unstable molecules that damage cells eventually. So these free radicals can impair the liver's ability to repair itself, leading to further inflammation and scarring. And then you have also alcohol-induced liver damage, which activates the immune system, causing chronic inflammation. And we know from like many of these episodes, if you've been hearing us from before, inflammation is not a great thing, mostly when it's chronic.
Yeah.
It's going to cause damage in the long run.
Yeah.
So inflammatory chemicals further injure the liver tissue, worsening the damage over time.
Yeah. So let's do the stages of alcohol-induced liver damage. First part is fatty liver disease, or also called steatosis. The earliest and most reversible stage in damage. So characterized by fat that's accumulated in the liver and then often asymptomatic. So basically you don't really have any symptoms and then resolves with abstinence of alcohol. Then you have alcoholic hepatitis. So involves inflammation and damage to the liver cells. So symptoms can include maybe jaundice, the yellowing of the skin and the eyes, abdominal pain and fatigue. Jaundice is caused by bilirubin, and then when the liver cannot process bilirubin, then it needs to kind of deposit somewhere. So that's why it deposits in the skin and in the eyes, and that's why we see that yellow color. But then it can also be a mild to severe, or severe cases may actually lead to liver failure. That liver failure, that more severe part, is called cirrhosis. So cirrhosis is actually irreversible scarring of the liver. Scar tissue replaces healthy liver tissue. So it impairs the liver's ability to actually function and complete these processes. Symptoms include ascites, so that fluid buildup around the abdomen, bleeding disorders, because the liver is what's going to produce those clotting factors, and then confusion due to that toxin buildup. Remember, your liver is kind of like a filter and it cleanses and does all those really important functions. So if you don't have that, then you're going to have a buildup of all these toxins, and that can actually lead to more neurological symptoms like confusion and all of that. Liver failure is the end stage, and then that's the final stage where the liver can no longer perform its essential functions. At this point, you're kind of looking at maybe a liver transplant or something for survival, basically.
Yeah. So why is the liver particularly vulnerable when it comes to alcohol and its consumption, right? So it is the primary organ for detoxification in your body. It processes virtually all the alcohol that is consumed, which exposes it to high concentrations of toxins, and that's a problem. Unlike other organs, the liver lacks certain protective mechanisms, making it highly susceptible to alcohol's damaging effects. How can you prevent this, and is there any reversibility to it? Moderate drinking. Limiting alcohol intake can prevent liver damage. For men, this means no more than 2 standard drinks per day. For women, no more than 1. Abstinence, so just avoiding alcohol altogether. And that allows the liver to repair itself, especially in early stages of fatty liver disease. And then you got nutrition. So a healthy diet rich of antioxidants can help combat oxidative stress. And then, of course, you have medical intervention. So for advanced liver damage, medications, lifestyle changes, or liver transplantation may be necessary depending on where you are in that stage. Then understanding how alcohol interacts with the liver underscores why moderation or even abstinence is crucial for maintaining liver health.
All right, so we mainly focused on the liver. Let's talk a little bit more about the other body parts that are affected by alcohol. So alcohol doesn't just affect the liver. It impacts... Sorry. Okay.
We didn't even finish the bottle.
What?
There's like a tiny little bit left.
Isn't that like my third glass?
No, it's the second.
Second? Why am I feeling like this?
You haven't eaten. Yeah, I know.
Why?
That's why.
It's good.
I know. I mean, it's great content.
I'm like,
it's been fabulous.
I'm feeling great.
Well, you know?
All right. So alcohol does not just affect the liver. It impacts a widespread of other things influencing near... Why can't I read this paragraph? Just read the words read the words and you'll be fine.
I'm like, you're almost there. Yeah. And like, why did you change that?
Yeah, why did I change it? Why? Okay. Alcohol doesn't just affect the liver. Its impact is widespread, influencing nearly every organ and system in the body. Dry January provides a break that allows the system to recover, leading to noticeably... I was almost there.
Almost.
I'm going to take it just from that
sentence. Oh, yeah.
So dry January provides a break that allows the system...
I'm typically not with the brand.
All right.
Okay.
Dry January. I can't look at you. Boy, I can't look at you. Just.
Okay. If anybody's watching, they'll be like, what the fuck is she doing over there? Did she cross out?
She passed out, guys. She didn't make it to the end of the video. All right. So dry January provides a break that allows these symptoms. That's why I keep on messing up. I want to say the word symptoms, that is systems.
So just paraphrase it in your mind. Right. Like, read the sentence and then see how you can
sentence.
Okay.
All right, so dry January provides a break that allows these systems to recover, leading to noticeable health improvements. Fuck. I need a refill for that.
All right, so brain and nervous system, because, you know, I love the brain and the nervous system. So, I mean, it's only
suiting. This is her thing.
So, all right. Okay, so impact of alcohol into the system, right? Alcohol is a central nervous system depressant, okay? I know it may feel like it's not that when you're in it, you're feeling nice, whatever, all that stuff, but it actually is a depressant. Well, in the short term, it slows brain activity, affecting judgment, memory, and coordination. But chronic use can cause long-term cognitive impairment, including memory problems and difficulty concentrating.
Concentrating.
Okay. Anyway, alcohol can disrupt neurotransmitters, leading to increased anxiety, depression, and in severe cases, alcohol-induced dementia. Or
Wernicke-Korsakoff
syndrome, linked to thiamine deficiency. That's why, like, we're having a good time. We're in the party.
I love it.
We're good. But then in the long run, the next day, that's when you're like, I'm dead. I don't want to get up from here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about a little bit about dry January benefits. So improved mental clarity, focus, and memory, reduced anxiety and depression as the brain kind of recalibrates the neurotransmitter levels. Better sleep quality and more restorative rest, since alcohol disrupts REM sleep. And we've talked about this.
Yes, we have. Before. Because it's like a common myth of like, hey, take a drink.
If you drink, you sleep better. Not.
Nope. It disrupts your sleep a lot, actually.
Yeah. And then there's also benefits for the heart and cardiovascular system. How does alcohol impact the heart? Excessive drinking raises blood pressure. It basically increases the risk of hypertension, stroke, and heart disease. Chronic use weakens the heart muscle as well, so you can have a alcoholic cardiomyopathy.
And which then, I didn't know about until I started looking at this, to be honest.
It's a real thing. And then that can lead to poor circulation and fluid buildup in the body. Heavy drinking is linked to an irregular heartbeat as well, such as AFib, which is pretty common. The benefit of doing Dry January on the heart and cardiovascular system is that it's going to lower your blood pressure and your heart rate. And then it also reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease because of that.
Right.
Now, it also has its benefits for the digestive system. Let's talk about the negative stuff on the digestive system. Right. It irritates the stomach lining, leading to gastritis, inflammation, GERD. A lot of people kind of have reflux after that.
Especially the next day when you're going through hangover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have nausea, dyspepsia, which is what we just said, acid reflux, and then increasing the risk of ulcers and gastrointestinal bleeding. Heavy drinking can also cause pancreatitis, which is horrible, and it's really painful and potentially life-threatening inflammation of the actual pancreas.
Everything I've heard about pancreatitis is that it's so painful.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
It's like a stab.
I've never been through it, thank God.
No, me too, thank God.
But I've heard it's awful.
Yeah.
And you could die from that.
Yeah, exactly.
So the benefit from Dry January is that you
reduce
in the digestive system, is that you reduce your acid reflux. You have fewer stomach issues. You improve your digestion. You have better nutrient absorption. Mm-hmm. And then reduce risk of long-term GI conditions. Okay. Right. So obviously, if you use alcohol chronically, you're going to develop chronic diseases. So if you stop, then that decreases your risk of chronic problems in the future.
And that's kind of how you see, unfortunately, with like alcoholism, how they have lower like nutrients and they're like kind of like malnourished.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it in the sense of the body is trying to get rid of this toxin so much that it's kind of like putting everything else on the wayside.
Yeah.
So it's going to stop like taking in like the actual food that you're eating and stuff, or the drinks that you're drinking that are good. Let's say, I don't know, some healthy like smoothie or juice or whatever. It's not going to prioritize that over alcohol. It's going to try to get rid of that toxin before it actually absorbs anything good that you need.
And also, if you're ruining your stomach lining as
that's
also going to inhibit your absorption.
Exactly.
You also have an impact on the immune system. So alcohol weakens the immune system, making it pretty much more susceptible to infections like the common cold and flu. But chronic drinking reduces the production of white blood cells, which are essential for fighting off infections.
Exactly.
So if you do Dry January, you strengthen your immune system function. You're reducing the likelihood of illness. Okay. And then you have a faster recovery from existing infections and whatever illnesses you might be combating. There's also the endocrine system, so basically hormonal changes. Alcohol disrupts the hormone production, or hormonal production in general, affecting metabolism, stress response, reproductive health. So in men, alcohol can lower testosterone levels, leading to fatigue, reduced muscle mass.
Which is something that I had not really heard about.
Yeah, I can.
About it lowering testosterone levels. Yeah. Incredible.
And then in women, alcohol can disrupt menstrual cycles and increase the risk of hormonal imbalances as well.
Interesting.
I feel like that's why a lot of people say that when you stop alcohol, you feel completely different. And I really feel like it's a lot of things, including hormonal disbalances.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Disbalances? Imbalances? Imbalances. Hormonal imbalances.
I think so.
Disbalance, right?
How did I write it up here? Imbalances?
Imbalances.
No, okay, there you go.
Yeah. Disbalances. I made that up, okay? All right, so the benefits is that hormonal balance begins to normalize, improved energy levels and metabolism, and then better reproductive health and regulation of your menstrual cycle. The skin.
Oh, yeah, that's huge, that's though.
Massive, yeah. Alcohol dehydrates the skin. You're going to have dryness, redness, puffiness. Increase the risk of skin conditions called rosacea and exacerbate acne. Over time, alcohol can accelerate skin aging by depleting vitamins like vitamin A and C, which are really vital for collagen production. So if you stop, then you're more hydrated. You're going to have clearer skin, more radiant skin. You're going to have reduced redness and puffiness. And then you're going to have a slower aging and those visible signs of skin aging.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to do the kidney system because that's also important.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol acts kind of as a diuretic. So what that means is that you're going to excrete a lot more fluid. So that's going to increase your urination, which in turn is going to increase dehydration. Mm-hmm. Chronic use can strain the kidneys, impairing the ability to filter waste and maintain electrolyte balance. If you stop and you do dry January, and honestly, if you stop drinking as much, improved hydration and kidney function is going to happen. You're going to have better electrolyte balance, reducing fatigue and muscle cramping. Why? Because of that dehydration aspect of it. Also, your weight and metabolism can also be very affected. So alcohol is calorie dense, about 7 calories per gram, and often paired with sugary mixers and high calorie snacks, contributing to weight gain. Drinking can slow down the metabolism and promote fat storage, especially around the abdomen, which we don't want.
Exactly.
Or we don't want that at all, but
exactly,
especially in the belly.
Yeah.
So during dry January, the benefits is basically going to be maybe a little bit of weight loss, which people actually do see lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a reduction in belly fat and improved metabolism and energy levels. I think that that just also leads to better eating habits. Oh, yeah. So it's just in general, it's going to help a lot with your weight.
Right, right.
You also have the other system, one of the most important, which is your mental health.
Yep.
So the brain. Impact of alcohol on the brain can affect neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine. This can all lead to mood swings and increased risk of anxiety and depression, irritability. But alcohol can also impair stress management, creating a cycle of emotional reliance on drinking. If you stop, then you're going to stabilize the mood. You're going to have improved emotional resilience. You're going to have increased feelings of control and also self-confidence.
Yep.
The impact of alcohol in general, so consumption of alcohol is a known carcinogen. It increases the risk for cancers, particularly of the mouth, throat, esophagus, liver, colon, literally pretty much everything that it touches. And then acetaldehyde, whichever one I feel like saying, is a byproduct of alcohol metabolism that damages DNA, and it also prevents its repair. It can also lead to cancerous changes in the cell. By not drinking, you're going to reduce that exposure of carcinogens, and then you're going to potentially lower your long-term cancer risk.
Exactly, exactly. So just because a lot of people contribute drinking alcohol to just the liver, but it affects the whole body.
The whole body.
The whole entire body. So why does dry January matter, right? So, I mean, we kind of touched upon it for each system pretty much, but let's just put it in a nice bow for you all. Alcohol consumption is deeply ingrained in social culture, but over time, research has unveiled its potential harms. Even moderate drinking can increase the risk of liver disease, affect mental health because it exacerbates anxiety and depression, lead to weight gain, and even disrupt sleep cycles, like we had said. So dry January provides an opportunity for self-reflection, allowing people that participated in it to reassess their relationship with alcohol. It also sheds light on how reducing or eliminating alcohol can improve physical and even mental health. So you have more benefits to it, right? So then you have your liver. It's going to significantly lessen the burden on it if you reduce the alcohol, because continuous drinking can lead to fat accumulation, leading to the inflammation and all that. And then studies show that even a short alcohol break can reduce liver fat for up to 15%. So that's a good amount. And then, of course, you're going to have sleep improvement. Alcohol is a sedative, but it disrupts REM sleep, right? That's the restorative state of your sleep. So participants often report better sleep quality, more energy, and reduced fatigue during dry January. And then that weight loss. So like she had mentioned, alcohol is calorie dense. So just one pint of beer has as many calories as a whole chocolate bar.
Yeah.
So cutting out alcohol often leads to fewer calories consumed overall, contributing to that long-term weight loss. And then mental health boost. So alcohol can temporarily relieve that stress, but in the long run, it's linked to increased anxiety, depression. And participants report feeling mentally clearer, less stressed, and even more positive as a whole.
Yes.
And then, of course, that's skin health, which is like very, very glaring. Alcohol dehydrates the skin, and that can exacerbate too redness and puffiness. Within a few weeks, many participants notice a healthier, more radiant complexion. So,
all right. So dry January has exploded in popularity since its inception. In 2021, a survey from the University of Sussex found that 1 in 5 British adults attempted it. In the US, 13% of adults reported participating. Interestingly, younger generations are leading the charge, with millennials and Gen Z showing a strong interest in mindful drinking or competitively.
Completely.
Oh, completely. I was like, what are we competing with? Or completely sober lifestyles.
Yeah.
And this is crazy because.
It's true though.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my good friends threw a holiday party.
Yeah.
And she said that none of her younger employees drank.
None.
They finished one bottle of wine the entire party.
Well, that's unheard of for millennials.
Yeah. Exactly. Isn't that crazy? But I feel that the younger generation is taking way more charge in mental health, body health.
All 100%. I know. 100%. Gen Z is like super involved in that.
Yeah.
Super.
So let's talk a little bit about prep. Because I'm going to try January. So this is perfect. Okay. So you got to set some goals. Okay?
Yeah.
So define what. Why you're doing it,
yeah.
The health, finances, curiosity, whatever it is that motivates you to do that, okay? Mm-hmm. Stock non-alcoholic alternatives. I think this was one of the biggest things that helped me.
Into it.
LaCroix is like my go-to. I don't really enjoy poppies, but I know that poppies are a huge
thing. I haven't tried them, to be honest.
They're okay. I don't think that they're anything out of this world, but they're okay. I'm more of a LaCroix and a Perrier.
That totally makes sense. Yeah.
But what is the one? Waterloo is another really good brand.
I haven't tried that one.
Bubbly is a very good brand.
It is.
But anyways, any type of flavored thing to kind of give you that satisfaction is fine. Kombucha, which is Julie's favorite.
Okay. Not.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather drink at that point. No. I'll drink at that point.
Yeah. Thank you. Herbal teas. So if you like kind of like maybe green tea or something like that throughout the day, you can have that. And then also alcohol-free wine.
Okay, I haven't tried it, so I'm not going to judge.
I have, and it's not the best.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Isn't that just grape juice?
I don't even know. It really doesn't taste good.
What the hell? Like, I don't. The whole point
of
wine.
I've had non-alcoholic wine and it's not good.
Like, the point of wine is that you ferment it, causes wine, alcohol in it. Yeah. So without alcohol, then it's just grape.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah. Anyway.
So then you can also do like create social strategies. So practicing saying no at social gatherings, which is super hard.
Yeah, that peer pressure.
I could not. Have anyone look at me like if I had three heads when I told them I wasn't drinking.
I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't, because we were, especially that those
it's
first
like during holidays too, like during the Mahachino. So
That's it.
Yeah, when every one of our friends were together and they're like, come on, this is like a one time that we all get together, blah 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 blah, and I was just like, guys, I cannot.
That's it. That's what it was. Yeah. That it was like a Hachina. We were like, this doesn't make any sense.
Like, we don't do this ever.
That's right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and our friends and our friendsmas is happening January 18th.
Bro, okay, you did that to yourself because you're hosting
now. No, I'm hosting it, but that doesn't mean that I cannot have fun. I'm just gonna have a LaCroix. You guys have drinks. All right, anyways. All right, so you can also track your progress. So apps like Try Dry or journaling can also help you kind of see the benefits and unfold over the month. So it kind of tracks like how you're feeling throughout the days.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens to the body during dry January?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of go week by week. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of just in general, idea. So week one, improved hydration leads to less bloating, clearer skin, and more energy. Week two, your blood sugar levels stabilize, reducing cravings of sugary food. Week three, you have better sleep that contributes to more improved focus and mood and productivity throughout the day. And then at the end of the month, a noticeable boost in overall health, including reduced blood pressure, better liver function, and even maybe a little bit of weight loss for those of you that want it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of it. So does it have long-term benefits, right? So research has shown that dry January participants often carry healthier habits forward. So a study by the University of Sussex revealed 70% drank less alcohol 6 months later. Okay, so this kind of like stuck with them a bit, you know? And then 71% slept better and 58% reported weight loss. So yeah. Over half.
Because that craving.
Exactly. Right?
So the less you drink, the less you're going to have that craving.
Exactly.
So before you're like, no, I might have to have this drink. And then since you've stopped for so long, it's, that craving is not there anymore.
Exactly. 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 So for many, this month-long challenge becomes a stepping stone towards sustained moderation or even sobriety as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
Now, there are some caution and risks, right, for going into dry January. So for most people, it's safe and it's beneficial, right? But however, for heavy drinkers, suddenly stopping alcohol can lead to withdrawal symptoms such as tremors, sweating, and anxiety, and even in some severe cases, seizures.
I wonder how this kind of is a slap of reality.
Oh, it probably is.
You know that there's so many people out there that say, oh, I don't need alcohol. It's not something I need. And then when you stop, you get irritable. You get anxious.
All the things.
All these things. And you kind of realize,
Maybe
I do need to take a break or pull back.
Exactly, exactly. So such individuals that are experiencing like those withdrawal symptoms should seek medical guidance before attempting dry January or any type of alcohol cessation. And now let's talk about like just some interesting tidbits to close off the episode. So mocktails are a huge thing.
Yeah.
Huge. And now with Gen Z leading this.
I can't stand mocktails. When I was pregnant, I had so many of them that I got me.
I know.
Everything had ginger beer, like whatever, ginger ale.
A lot of them are not great, but it's just like, it's a huge thing now.
It is a huge movement.
It's a huge thing now. And then there's even, like we said, alcohol-free wine.
Yeah.
And then there's beer, that alcohol-free beer. All those things. The option is out there. So they've done it. Now, damp January. That's what I was talking about. So for those that are not ready to quit completely, there is like something that they've come up with, damp January, which offers a softer approach while participants like just simply cut back. So what I've seen is like they'll drink only like one day of the week.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then that's damp January. Or they'll only like do like one drink or, it's just like cutting pretty much. So that's it.
Which anything I think is a good step forward.
Absolutely. So money saved. Alcohol, like we said, is not cheap. So going
especially dry, in Miami.
Absolutely not. Especially if you go out for it.
Yeah.
It's just anyway. So going dry can save you hundreds of dollars in just a single month. And then wild dreams. So some participants report vivid dreams during dry January, likely due to the brain adjusting to a better sleep pattern overall, which is really incredible how you could actively see that, through your dreams.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So this is dry January, our episode on dry January benefits.
As we're not dry right
now. A little swig, yeah. But I'm preparing. Mm-hmm. Let's try. Mm-hmm. I'll convince Jules to do it with me.
I will do damp.
Just do dry.
I'm going to do damp.
You can do the dry.
I know that I'm going to do damp.
All right.
I know how, and especially January. If this were like a different month, then maybe. But girl, I have a whole move coming up ahead of me.
Okay. You think you're going to move by January?
No, wow. But it's coming. Yeah. It's like February type of thing. So January is going to be like that.
Oh, man. Well, anyways, this was dry January. I hope that this helps anyone doing dry or January.
No, and I think it's a great fucking idea. Like, dry January is amazing. And again, just because it says dry January doesn't mean that
it's
you
just
have...
January.
You could do it any time.
Monica does it for, like, 3 months. She does it up until March.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So you could do what... You could modify it. You could do it in February, March,
and
April, whatever.
Maybe you start with just 1 month and you end up doing it forever.
Yeah. Some people do it for Lent.
Yeah.
Those that like observe a Lent, they do it for Lent. So that's why. Like dry January is just an example of ways that you could maybe try this out. Yeah. So thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
It's a little bit unhinged, but the last two Patreon... We're even more finished. So check that out, patreon.com/funnymedicinepodcast. Thank you guys for everything, for all the support. Check us out on all forms of social media. We're everywhere: Threads, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. And if you guys have any suggestions on any episodes that you would like us to cover, let us know in any form of social media or via email, funnymedicine305@gmail.com. and check out our merch. Anyway, I will see you on the next one.
Bye.
Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.